You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Good morning, and thanks for making us a part of your day. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio presenting Speaking of Sports. I'm your host, Jim Daniels, every weekend where we kind of like to kick the box score aside just a little bit and take a deeper look at some of the individuals and stories that are floating in the sports world that don't necessarily deal with the scoreboard. We've got an interesting show for you, as always, on the program. And coming up in about a half an hour, because of the holiday weekend, international fitness expert Tanya Jelovic, well, I'm hoping I'm getting that right. We'll ask her how well I did with that when she gets on here in about a half an hour. She's going to join us because this is the weekend when we just absolutely go crazy with the calories. And we're going to get her in here and talk about, you know, just how bad some of it was. What can we do to maybe try and rectify some of the wrong done over this long eating holiday? We'll get her on here for a few minutes, talk to her. Also, the professor, Rick Horrell, is going to join us. We talk about the business of sports with Rick, and then Pete and I always have something to wrap up the show with of interest. But to start the program with, I welcome in a friend of ours here in Los Angeles, a local radio guy here in L.A., as well as a sports comedian, Doug DeRocher, going to join us. Now, the improv is your other line of work when you're not sitting in front of a microphone like this, right?
Yes.
So, you know, you're a guy that I've known for many years, and you're a funny guy, but I didn't bring you in here to do stand-up. I brought you in here really as much as anything else because you're a hockey guy. Well, first of all, you're an admitted Browns fan and Cleveland sports fan, so that makes you pretty unique all by that.
Also a Detroit fan, too. Grew up in Detroit, so I'm a big Detroit fan, but started out, Cleveland Browns are my team. But
right.
It's bad in either way.
There's a story this week found on NBCSports.com. Actually, it's found all over the place, and it's about Frank Gifford. We lost Frank Gifford not too long ago, and of course, I'm sure, you know, with all of the talk about CTE and concussion and all of this kind of stuff, that he absolutely wanted to be part of that whole process, and so they examined his brain after his passing, and sure enough, they found that, yeah, he too was suffering from CTE. And again, this is about football, and, you know, we all talk about a lot about what you sign up for when you're going to play football.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I know this isn't the most politically correct opinion right now, but in my opinion, the NFL has become a little hypersensitive to this issue. Now, obviously, it's a serious health issue. You know, I'm not going to make light of that. Mm-hmm. But the reason why the NFL cares is because of money and lawsuits. That's the reason why. They're going to do what they think is best. That they got busted in the public eye for not caring about it. Now they're going to care as much as they possibly can.
And to the overboard, look, I don't want to trivialize the fact that, you know, the players put themselves at risk. But let's keep in mind here that no one is holding a gun to anybody's head. I mean, this is a little bit of a game you play with yourself, and that do I want the first of all, am I talented enough that I could make it in the NFL? If you make that determination through agents or coaches or whatever, that you are of that caliber, you're cut from that cloth, that you're somebody that can go out there and make millions of dollars a year throwing, catching, kicking a football, baseball, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're interested, you're intrigued, you want to know. But if they approach you up front and say, oh, by the way, this, you're still going.
No, I think let's jump forward two steps. Even from what people want. Write up a contract. And along with it, you've got a disclaimer that tells you if you're going to play NFL football, you are going to get some level of brain damage. I mean, even though that's not completely true, how about if you just tell them right up front, you're going to get brain damage, probably. You'll have some debilitating health effects. Do you still want to sign this $14 million contract?
Or you're going to be concussed. You will experience concussions, especially if you're one of these 6'5", 370-pound guys that work in the trenches, the big uglies, as they like to call them. You're going to get concussed every single game because this – right there, that's a concussion. It's not very severe. It's not the same thing that happens to you when a 300-pound lineman hits you. Nonetheless, it is a concussion. It's going to happen to you every game. It may not be enough to knock you silly, but it's going to happen to you every game. Now, here's the reason why I wanted to bring you in here. We established all this stuff with the concussion in the NFL. And the public is concerned, and this has spilled over into mainstream television where, you know, the morning shows, Good Morning America, and probably even The View may even want to talk about it. I don't know. I'm not watching that stuff. But the fact remains is this has crossed over and become a huge thing that everybody's talking about. Why? And you're an Eastern guy.
Sure.
You're a hockey fan, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your hockey team?
Red Wings.
Red Wings, because you're Detroit. And why is it that there is no great public outcry for the fist fighting that breaks out that is absolutely no part of the game of hockey whatsoever? Now, the question is being posed by a guy from L.A. So the rest of the country, you know, you can heave your sigh and roll your eyes. Yeah, okay, I don't get the fighting in hockey, but what I'm talking about is the societal aspect of this. You have this outrage. You have these people that are lining up and suing for hundreds of millions of dollars. As a matter of fact, the amount they came up with in the NFL settlement, they decided that wasn't enough. It needed to be more money. And it's like you knew what you were getting into when you signed that contract. But over on the hockey side of things, they're fist fighting. They're punching each other in the face. They're literally knocking people's teeth out, which we've seen on replay here in the last couple of days. And that's okay. And nobody's got a problem with that.
I'm a hockey fan, and I'm a fan of the fighting. I'm a fan of the fighting in hockey. And here's it's very simple why they haven't gotten rid of you. Because the fan base isn't as huge as the NFL's. And I'll tell you what, the NFL is now a victim of their own desire to have the biggest fan base possible. You know that there's just almost as many female viewers as men now. Where are they making their money in merchandising off of the women? Let's bring in people who aren't fans. So now,
sure, because they don't have seven jerseys in their closet already like we do.
So once upon a time, it was a football fan who spent, you know, the typical all-day Sunday watching games. Now, you've got everyone watching games. You have this huge thing in society. So instead of just looking through it through the usual sports prism that we examine things in, this now the NFL is expected to be like a leader in ethics and society. What people are saying, why is the NFL allowing these people who are criminals? I'm like, why is it the NFL's job any more than it's the Screen Actors Guild's job to fire Charlie Sheen because he's doing drugs? Why is it that the NFL suddenly has to become the example for society and kids? It's just a sports league.
Because of the popularity level. Yes. You really kind of answer your own question, because it is so big and it's crossed over. But you know what? That's not an excuse. That's not a pass for hockey. And listen, I'm not going to try and become the champion that's going to get the fighting out of hockey. I don't watch hockey enough. I don't care enough about it, if that's what they want to do. However, I see this gross thing that's going on here between the two. I mean, you want to talk about a disconnect. You know, here are these people suing for hundreds of millions of dollars over these concussions in the sport of the NFL, and nobody's saying a peep about the fist fights, the knuckles to the teeth that's going on in hockey. Listen, because it's coming. It's coming, friend. The first time you have a story, and I'm not trying to trivialize anything, I'm just trying to make a connection. The first time you have a Mike Webster kind of story about some guy from concussion CTE from hockey, and he goes out and goes ballistic in whatever way on himself or somebody else, guess what's going to happen?
When it becomes a big enough story, they will get rid of the fighting in hockey.
And that's
it. Will go away.
It will. But you know what? Something tragic is going to have to happen in order to trigger that, in order to make it happen. In the meantime, everybody's just dumb. Like, I've been accusing, like many people, Roger Goodell of not knowing what's going on in his own house.
Sure.
Okay? And being knee-jerk react to everything that goes on. Hey, look, NHL, you're about to do the same thing. You're about to be the same knee-jerk jerks that are just reacting to whatever public opinion is or whatever people on The View or Good Morning America are talking about the next morning, instead of policing your sport and doing what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do it because it's the right thing to do, not because somebody told you it was the right thing to do.
Well, I'm just waiting for the sport of soccer or football to examine how much all the headers damage is causing. I would guarantee you that there are concussions in
that's a concussion
among people who have played soccer their whole lives.
That header shot, that's a concussion.
They're already banning headers at, like, young kid levels, you know, up through high school, and saying, seriously,
again,
when is a study going to happen there?
It's not as severe as the helmet-to-helmet blow that you see in football. And you know what? Here's the other thing I thought, too, but let me finish my thought on soccer. It's not as severe, but it is a concussion. They are talking about it, and they are talking about kids and trying to coach away from having them do that, especially at young ages.
Well, they're never going to eliminate that from the game. This is too popular a sport. The world loves it. They're not going to take the headers out of it. No way.
So once again, just like the NFL, you want to do this. You've got international soccer star written all over you. You're going to be able to play in any number of plays. You don't have to just come to America. There are many successful soccer franchises all over the globe that you could make a ton of money at if you're willing to sign on the line and say, yeah, I'm okay, and I promise I'm not going to come sue you a few years from now because I can't remember who I am because I had too many concussions and headers to trying to score goals with my forehead.
Hell, I'm over 40, and at this point, I would take 10 years of fortune and fame over some lasting effects after that. Give me those 10 years right now.
We laugh at that, but it's the truth. You know, we say it with a laugh in our voice, but, you know, who's not?
When I
mean, most people are going to be okay with that. I mean,
you're talking about elite of the elite, the people that play these sports, and this is why they make the money that they do. If you're talented at that level, this is what Johnny Manziel does not get, is that are talented at that level. You're right there. And once you make it to that level, only the cream rises at the top and gets to stick around and be a star and, you know, make lots of money and do shaving ads and stuff like that. Johnny Manziel can't see the forest for the trees. All he sees is that, you know, the next game check that just fell into his hands and how fast can I spend this with my friends. I mean, he's still acting like a 17-year-old. Problem is, he's going to squander this opportunity. By the time his brain wakes up and understands what's going on, it's going to be too late and he's going to be out the door.
Yeah, he needs a couple of concussions, maybe.
He needs to go to the Raiders is, I think, what he needs to do. The problem is they've already got a quarterback that's doing pretty well for them. All right, not trying to pick a fight with the whole concussion thing, nor am I trying to pick a fight with the hockey fans. Again, you know, I'm a kid that grew up out here in Southern California on a surfboard, not skates, so I don't really understand the whole hockey thing to begin with. But what is foreign to not just me is a whole lot of other people is when you look at this gigantic concussion thing going on in the NFL and the thousands of people involved and the millions and hundreds of millions of dollars involved, you can't just look at hockey and watch these guys literally knocking their teeth out in primetime television and expect that to go by unnoticed.
You know, you've got to stop trying to get the fighting out of hockey, Jim, all right? I'm a fan here, all right? This has got to stop.
Yeah. Well,
sure, you have some points and all that.
You signed up for this, right? It's right
that's
back to that. You
I
signed
just
want to
be
this.
Entertained, okay?
It's got no part of the game. There's no part of the game. The linemen slamming into each other. I mean, here's the other thing about the helmets. This is maybe a little bit caveman approach, but if you want to solve some of the concussion problems that you have with these players, like the headhunting, like there's a personal foul for the helmet-to-helmet hit, right? You want to put an end to that? I was talking to Mike Haynes of the Raiders just a couple of weeks ago. We had him on this show on Speaking to Sports. We were talking about a number of things, and he said we talked about a concussion. And he said, you know, I used to wear one of those suspended net helmets when I played. And if you remember what that is, the helmets that they wear now are almost like motorcycle helmets. These things are form-fitted to your head. The quarterbacks even wear some operated by air, so they fit absolutely perfect. So these guys have gained confidence that I can go hit people. I can use my head as a weapon to hit people with. Put on one of those helmets that Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes and all those guys
just
saw back in all
of them.
Just
a little bit of padding around
there's,
the ear.
Yeah, there's padding around the ear, and there's a suspended net in the top of it that even if you hit hard, if your head's still going to hit that plastic. Put those helmets back on them. I bet they don't hit quite as hard anymore.
Maybe the way to actually get rid of all the concussions is to not have a helmet anymore. Leather helmets.
Leather. Back to the leather. Doug DeRocher.
Another throwback day.
It's always great to have you in here, man. Thanks very much. If you're in Los Angeles, check out Doug at the Improv. Good to see you. Coming up next, the professor will talk the business of sports with Rick Horro next. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app. NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. This is Speaking of Sports. Thanks for dialing us up. It's what we like to kick the box score aside and look at some other things going on in the sports world, like the business of sports. That's why we have the professor, Rick Horro, going to join us now and talk some of the dollars and cents going on in the sports world. Probably more dollars and cents, especially coming from my end, right, Rick?
Yeah, cents for you, dollars for the rest of us. And by the way, you put Black Friday and Cyber Monday together, and they're only about 20% higher than Super Bowl week as far as sports merchandising is concerned. And the other little fact is that the Americans eat more calories on Thanksgiving Day than any other day, except pretty close Super Bowl Sunday. So, but I think, do we eat healthier Super Bowl Sunday, or do we eat because of the guacamole and everything not healthier? It's one of those things we can ponder, and nobody cares.
Yeah, no, I'm going with the guacamole, and I care a lot about that. So, but you're talking to a guy from California, so there you go. Let's talk NBA basketball. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors are breaking records on the court, but it looks like they're going to really be turning their fans on with some advanced viewership, right?
Yeah, well, the CSN Bay Area had a record for a Tuesday night game against the Raptors, and then TNT had a record for a Thursday night game against the Clippers. You know, both interesting, but not draws themselves, and this machine keeps going. You know, kudos to Joe Lacob. He was a piece of the Celtics, and then he and Peter Gruber got together and turned this into a machine. What's going to happen now, by the way, is not only people watching it, but you have the new arena that's being done in San Francisco politics are always difficult with an arena. It doesn't hurt when your team's not going to lose a game for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of way looking right now. I mean, they're halfway to that NBA record win streak already. Now, let's stay with the NBA. Kristaps Porzingis. Listen, we knew this guy was an interesting pick in the beginning, 7'3" Euro, but he's turned out to be just absolutely amazing on the court. And you've absolutely already got people in New York City thinking, hey, how do we spin the money machine on this guy? They figured it out, haven't they?
Well, they did on Black Friday. We don't know the exact sales yet, but the sales over 3 days last week equals all sales from the full week prior for the number 6 Latvians jersey with the Knicks. You know, if the shirt rubs off on everybody else and maybe Melo starts playing defense, maybe the Knicks as a team may get better. But, you know, that's not as important. This is like Lynn Sanity was before he effectively flamed out in Houston. But what it means is New Yorkers love A, to play basketball, B, mindless optimism, and C, spending money. And when you combine all of that, it's good for Chris Porzingis, it's good for the Knicks.
Move to a Major League Baseball, where MLB and Fox recently reached an agreement for a 3-year deal to begin in-market streaming for 15 clubs. You know, we've talked about this a bunch on Speaking of Sports with you, Rick, about how more and more of these clubs are going the way of the streaming. This is a pretty big deal here. Big move for the MLB, isn't it?
It's a big deal for those of us who don't want to spend anything but want to watch it on the internet and want to watch it on iPads. You know, my daughter's home for Thanksgiving, and I offered her some bounty for graduation at Duke, and I mentioned a TV. And she said, not what's a TV, but she looked at me like, you know, I have 5 eyes. I don't need a TV. I'm watching it on the internet. And so what everybody is doing is obviously going to maximize reach. And now that corporate people, including ad agencies, are figuring out how to quantify and get the benefits of this kind of advertising, even if it's those mindless pop-ups, then the 15 clubs and Fox's RSN portfolio at the start of the 2016 season is a means to an end. Rob Manfred hopes that all 30 teams will have this streaming within 2 years.
The professor Rick Horro is with us. We talked the business of sports and nothing bigger than the NFL. And so the NHL has taken a page out of their book. As a matter of fact, the NHL has done some really innovative things lately, like the whole 3-on-3. A lot of people are loving that for the overtime thing. But what they've done here is going to be interesting as well. It looks like they're going to adopt the NFL-style bye week, right?
Yeah. You know, Gary Bettman, Bill Bailey, and others, really, you gotta reward their creativity, because some experiments work, some don't. But that's the bottom line. You got to try it. And so they're going to think about bye weeks. They're talking with NBC about scheduling, so everybody will get a bye week to stay healthy, to recover, to start marketing again, to push the reset button. The 3-on-3 format for the playoff, the All-Star game, it's going to be weird to follow, but so was the Chase, and so were the FedEx Cups originally. And so, you know, the bottom line is, keep tweaking it, and Gary Bettman sees and presides over a league whose revenue increases 20% to 30% a year. You got to love it.
You do got to love it, and we're out of time here once again, but I guess that, and we need to talk about this next week, what they're doing in Detroit for the Red Wings. I want to get on that, because what they're building, I've seen some of the film on it. It's beautiful stuff. Rick, thanks for being with us. Always great to talk the business of sports with the professor Rick Horro. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Go eat some turkey. Talk to you next week.
I will have a turkey sandwich. Thank you very much. And maybe some pie. And maybe some chirpumple. Want some chirpumple this weekend? Nah, you probably don't, actually. More Speaking of Sports next on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Appreciate you being there. It's NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. A lot of ways for you to get what we've got. As a matter of fact, we're on satellite radio. You can get us on demand. You can sign up at iTunes to have the podcast delivered right to you. Miss any part of this or any of the shows on NBC Sports Radio, and we got you covered on our own website too, not just NBCSports.com, but NBCSportsRadio.com, and you can hit the on-demand feature. Let's do shiny and new. The Home Depot is ready to help you update your kitchen and laundry rooms at the right price with the latest appliances from top brands like Maytag, GE, Samsung, LG, and more, delivered right to your door for free. The Home Depot makes it possible to upgrade this fall with the appliances you need at prices that won't break your budget. budget. It's important, right? Visit HomeDepot.com/appliances for details. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. All right, this is Speaking of Sports, where we like to take a slightly different view of things. Like I'm fond of saying, kick the box score aside. This is one of the biggest calorie weekends of the year. As a matter of fact, we were just talking to Rick Horrell about this, saying that, you know, it's this weekend and New Year's is when we absolutely go crazy with the calories. Well, maybe we've got a way to curtail some of that, fix some of the wrong, right some of the wrongs done over the past couple of days. International fitness expert Tanya Jelovic, hope I'm getting that right, is our guest today. Originally from Sweden, she attended the prestigious Swedish Academy of Fitness Education, then continued her education by completing a master's degree in psychology, specializing in stress management, therapy, and behavioral life coaching. She was also a trainer on the Swedish version of the Biggest Loser TV show, did that for a couple of years, and she's also viewed as one of the top fitness professionals in Sweden. Tanya's workout programs are now based in Los Angeles, where she teaches classes at the, well, out here, world-famous Hollywood's Crunch Fitness, Equinox, and Sunset Plaza. Yeah, she's working with the celebs, too. Matt Dillon is on her list, and so is Pink and Rachel Weisz. Let's say good morning to Tanya Jelovic. Hope I got that name right. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. You really said my name very well. Thank you for that.
There, that's good. See, that's a home run already. I'm happy, and we haven't even asked a question yet. Tanya, listen, we're in the middle of the biggest calorie cramming weekend on the calendar. No question about that. Thanksgiving all weekend long. It's beer, food, and sports for many of us. Now, growing up in Sweden, did you have a holiday where everyone stuffed themselves and then took the whole week off to shop and eat?
Oh, my. Well, you know what? In Sweden, Christmas and New Year's is that for us. And here I know it begins with Thanksgiving. We don't really celebrate Thanksgiving as it's an American holiday, and I love it. But the amount of anxiety and stress that comes around when food is involved during this holiday in America is amazing to me. And I've been working with this for a long time, so... Mm-hmm. We have something similar, but not quite.
Right. Okay. Well, we're an overserved society. That's for sure. Especially when you go to the restaurant, you see the size of the portions these days. And that's, of course, that's how the restaurant jacks the price up. But Thanksgiving goes off the scale with that overserved thing, doesn't it?
It does. And what it creates is this high anxiety. People get stressed out and then it's tunnel vision. So the only thing we focus on is how much or how little or how whatever that is we're going to eat or not eat. And there's built up anxiety. And then we forget about really having fun and being with each other and enjoying the holiday. That's really what I think.
You know, and you talk about the anxiety level that comes with the holidays. We'll touch more on that in just a second. But first, I got to go to one of the big gut killers. It's got to be dessert. Is all that pie as bad as it seems, or is it just because it's all covered in whipped cream or Cool Whip or whatever, or it just seems that bad? Is that why?
Well, let me put it this way. It's pretty bad, but of course there are things we can do to make it better, and they're both based in some, you know, attitude adjustments for sure, and some behavioral stuff, and then, you know, putting in our activities here and there, even though that's not the first thing we think about. And it's really, there are a few tricks I use with my clients and I recommend that you can use just to turn down the anxiety about all these things. It's really not that bad if you think about it, if you sit down and relax. And I would say one of those things would be to continue training, like doing little things, even if it is with your family, you know, you just take a little walk after all the food, or you play a game, or you kind of put a little bit in there and you tell everybody, hey, we're going to be doing that walk. So get prepared so nobody gets a shock when it actually happens. And when it comes to the pie, I think finding recipes where there are real ingredients involved instead of using, you know, processed foods or buying the pie in the store or anything like that makes such a big difference.
Tanya Jelovic is our guest, international fitness expert, and now a fitness expert to the stars out here in Los Angeles. And maybe she can help us with a better path this holiday season. Tanya, we all want to know how to stay healthier, be more fit, get through the holiday season. So, you know, how about maybe a few tips in regards to what we're eating? There are just as many healthy options out there over the holiday weekends and the big dinners that we're going to set up. I imagine, though, the deep-fried turkey is probably the biggest one to avoid, yeah?
I think so. Why not bake the turkey in the oven? There are so many ways to do that. And maybe go easy on the stuffing. I know that's a sacrifice for many, but it's actually possible to do that. And that will reduce the calories by, I can tell you, half in one portion, just those two things, for instance. And then just setting the attention on what's really important during the holidays, like slowing down, being with the family, doing all the fun things and taking the focus maybe off of all the crazy foods and craziness. Because if we use all these little tools, I think the end result is going to be great. And that means just enjoying the holiday season with the family and friends.
Wow, you know, you knocked me off my stool with that stat. The stuffing, cut the calories in half by knocking the stuffing out. That's amazing. Listen, this holiday in particular involves a lot of travel for many people, too. That can mean long car rides, airline flights, crammed seating, buses, trains, cabs, what have you. Have you got some exercise tips to use while we travel about the country this holiday season?
Well, you can do what I do. I fly a lot. And I make sure that if I'm at an airport, I don't sit a lot. I actually walk the entire airport if I'm waiting. That could be one thing. And then if we're doing road trips and drives, just getting out of the car, maybe every hour on the hour, if even possible, and taking a little, you know, taking a little stroll or just doing some jumping jacks. I know not everybody's going to do that, but just anything that gets your blood pumping instead of sitting down. As you know, sitting down is kind of the worst thing we can do. So scheduling it in there and prepping it and getting your mind onto doing the little things, getting out of the car, do five squats, get in again, and then continue driving, for instance.
Yeah, no, actually, I had a chiropractor tell me years ago, I told him I was commuting a lot, spending a lot of time in the car, and he said, you know what, get out of the car every half hour, half an hour, hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is, whatever's convenient, and get out there and, you know, do a little bit of exercise, do some stretching, you know, in order to get your blood going. So that's another good tip there. We've all heard just how powerful stress can be in a person's life. The holidays really bring that into high gear. There's gifting and travel and parties and budgets and oh my. And how do we learn how to shut it all off and block out the noise for a moment? Stress reduction techniques can really work wonders, I would think. And I mean, you know, especially if you can learn how to maybe meditate or just chill, right?
You know what? I think meditate, when I hear meditation, I go, oh my God, now I have to become a Buddhist and I have to learn how to meditate like an hour a day. But it's not even like that. It is about finding the few minutes sitting down and simply taking a few deep breaths, clearing your mind and moving on. It could really be as easy as that.
You know, the new year always brings new beginnings. I started setting goals for myself years ago, and it's something that I still do to this day and find it helpful. What else can we do to help support our health and wellness as we head into 2016?
Well, I think, as I said, one thing is learning new tricks, as your listeners are doing now, preparing for something, not just doing something in the moment, but preparing for a healthier lifestyle and learning about filling your fridge with healthy foods and preparing for that even 30 minute a day little workout and setting your mind to that this is going to be good for me, this is going to be healthy, and this is actually what's going to make me feel better, live longer, and share my love with my loved ones. So I would say prep and attention.
International fitness expert Tanya Jelovich. You can find her on Twitter at Loud Fitness. She's in shape. She knows what she's talking about. And we thank you for being with us this morning on NBC Sports Radio.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good stuff there. See, you know, it's all about being smart. Do the right thing for your body. That's what you need to do. And that's just the time of year when we start thinking about that stuff. Actually, now is when we start loading up on all the calories and the pie and all that kind of stuff. And we think about this about a month from now, actually. So we're ahead of the curve. That's good. All right. Up next, we're going to get Pete Fox in here, as we always do on Speaking of Sports. And it'll be Pronunciation 101. You'll see what I mean next. NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Back to more Speaking of Sports. It's NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm Jim Daniels. Thanks for being with us. We surely appreciate you being along for our little 60-minute ride. This one's not very long. As a matter of fact, we're winding down to the end of it. First, don't miss the 3-day sale going on this weekend at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only, O'Reilly Auto Parts can offer 3 days of incredible sale prices on products that your vehicle uses every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, let's invite Pete Fox into the studio where I said if you were with us on the other side of the break, this was going to be Pronunciation 101. Yeah. You've done a couple of updates this morning. I don't know if everybody's getting the joke, and maybe I want to be Captain Obvious here and pointing the joke out because maybe not everybody's seen the commercial, but you've been starting your updates with...
Rivalry Week.
Now, look, I'm almost trying to come to Pete's defense here. Pete does not have a speech impediment. Pete does not have a problem saying Rivalry Week.
Rivalry Week.
See, there you go. That was good.
I can do it.
He did it that time. But there are some people on television that are having a hard time with it, and they really poked fun at it, and it's really pretty funny stuff.
Do you have it?
Oh, no, I don't have the clip. No.
Yeah.
It's Herschel Walker.
It's Herschel Walker, Bo Jackson. Doug Flutie, and then Desmond Howard actually does
it
right.
That's right.
And pronounces it correctly. But, you know, it's one of those things in our business. It is tough to say. It's one of the tougher ones out there. Seth Smith is another tough name. Of course, Red River Rivalry is another challenging
one.
Yeah,
I used to go with the Red River Shootout. I'd shorten it to that. Yeah. See, Red River Rivalry.
So, I just love the fact that they have taken advantage of that and poked at the fun of it and exploited the obvious.
I wanted to do that and have a little bit of fun with that. I also want to ask this question, too. You know, Johnny Manziel is in the news again this week, and we know it's well-reported. We don't need to talk about that. But what I want to ask is, you know, John Gruden, of all people, has come to his defense, and he is on a number of places. I'm sure you'll find it on NBCSports.com. But he's saying, look, you need to be patient with this guy. Now, here's supposed to be the quarterback guru is John Gruden, and he's saying, look, you need to be patient with this guy. Is Gruden on point here with the whole idea of, look, Johnny Manziel is just a 21-year-old kid, and you need to give him a little slack?
Well, is he talking about as a quarterback or as an adult? Because if he's talking about as a quarterback, I agree. We should be a little bit more patient. He is a youngster. There's a lot of raw talent there. We think, you know, let's give it a little bit of time to mature. But as far as an adult trying to mature as a professional person, I don't think we have to give him any more time. There are plenty of 22-year-old adults in the professional workforce that are not being idiots like this, especially in the NFL. There are plenty of 22-year-old guys in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball or NHL that are able to get through the work week without going out to the club and partying all the time.
Yeah, the lack of vision.
Especially when you're a leader.
Yeah, exactly. The lack of vision, I think, is what's disturbing here. It's like he doesn't see anything wrong with these things that he's doing. And so, you know, that screams he doesn't understand the overall larger picture of what being a leader is. And being a leader is not go out and get drunk with your buddies on the off week because you got the cash to jump in your private Learjet and go do it, and then come back and try and get people to lie about, you know, something that you said happened, didn't really happen. I mean, it's like it's not penetrating his brain what the other things are. This is not just X's and O's, I think, is what Johnny hasn't realized yet.
Yeah, the thing that is probably the most surprising to me, if Johnny Manziel wants, see, I'm not a full believer that he's an alcoholic. I think he went to rehab just to do the right PR thing.
I think so, too.
So, and if he has a few beers on the off week, I don't have a problem. Even if he gets hammered at his house, I don't have a problem with it. But I don't understand that he's, how stupid is he to go out in public to a club where one of his boys has their iPhone out? I'm like, are you really that stupid to allow that to happen? I don't, like, hello, whose team are you on? Are you with me or are you again me? I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, you got to understand that the world is filled with photojournalists now because just about everybody has got one of these smartphones, and all they've got to do is, you know, turn it around, flip a button, flip another button, and they're videotaping you. And then the next thing you know, they're on the phone to TMZ asking them if they want to buy the tape. You know,
right.
I mean, there's
knew.
Too many
he
people out there that have an agenda, that want to go out, that are looking for him. They see him, they're looking for something to do. And, you know, whether you want to call that a meal ticket, if I want to go that far or not, or just to be, you know, somebody that, you know, hey, look at what he's doing. But yeah, it's the lack of vision, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, vision on the field. Lack of vision of the larger picture is what he's going to have to deal with. Gruden saying another, just to add on here, said he's a young kid. He should still be at Texas A&M. Sometimes you have to remember that, close quote. That's Gruden talking about Manziel. And he's right. He couldn't wait to get out of there because he wanted to get out of there and be a rock star and have that money and wear the bling and fly around in the Learjets like all of his friends do. You'll notice that when he first went to Cleveland, – LeBron James is somebody that welcomed him in. You'll notice now that LeBron James has completely separated himself. You don't ever see those guys seen or mentioned or even talked about together.
Well, Manziel comes from a family of money anyway, so yeah. It's not as if the fame and fortune of being an NFL quarterback has really changed his life all that much. Maybe he's more popular than he would be if he was just a rich guy named Johnny Manziel from an oil family.
But Gruden is right. He would have been smarter to stay at College Station and stay with the college game a little bit longer, mature, you know, get in the gym, build your muscles up a little bit too, and understand a little bit more about the game and what surrounds it. Pete Fox, I always appreciate you being a part of this program. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Great weekend.
You too, man. Great holiday weekend. Fun stuff. All right. I believe I'll be back tomorrow morning in for Eric Casilius. The marathon continues. Thanks to the crew, as usual, for helping out around here. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Enjoy your NFL. It's NBC Sports Radio.